In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This evening we've read the Ascension Gospel. We've extinguished the Paschal candle, the candle that symbolizes the light of the risen Christ here with us, here on earth. But what does that mean? Ascension reminds us that the gospel story that started in Advent with the proclamation that the Messiah was coming and that God's kingdom was soon to be at hand, the gospel that started there doesn't end there. It doesn't end with the coming of the Messiah at Christmas either. It doesn't end with him hanging on the cross or buried in the tomb on Good Friday. The gospel doesn't even end with Jesus' resurrection on Easter. Like oftentimes, that's as far as we really take the story. That's as far as we take the gospel. It's done on Easter. He came, he died in our place, bringing victory over sin, bringing victory over death, and he rose to new life and takes us to victory with him. That's the story. But that's not the end. Maybe we go on, we talk about Pentecost. But you know what? Without the ascension, Pentecost doesn't happen. Between the resurrection and the sending of the Holy Spirit lies the ascension. It's as much a part of the gospel as the death, the resurrection, and the rest of it. Now think of it this way. Jesus spent his earthly ministry talking about God's kingdom. St. Matthew tells us that when his ministry began, the first thing he did, he went out and preached, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The purpose of his coming was to establish that kingdom. And his kingdom is about life and about restored fellowship with God. The problem is that he came to build that kingdom, but he came to build it with a people who were dead in their sins and separated from God. And so he had to come as one of us, to live like one of us, just like one of us, with all of our problems, but to do one thing we could never do, to be perfect, to perfectly uphold God's law, to be sinless, to live up to that holy standard. So where the first Adam failed, this second, this new Adam, was victorious in being obedient to God. Being guiltless, he then died the death that we deserve, that he might remove the penalty of our sin. In his death, he then opened the way back to fellowship with his Father for us. He rose from the dead so that those who are united with him in faith might rise to new life too. He took people who were enemies of God, who turned their hearts from God, who were dead in sin, and he changed their allegiance. Remember, he's building a kingdom. He needs citizens. He needs subjects. So he took these people who were opposed to him outside his kingdom and changed their hearts, changed their allegiance, where they were once people who had pledged their allegiance to the world, to the flesh, to the devil. He created a kingdom people for himself out of them. And now as we remember and we celebrate his ascension, we celebrate his going up to heaven and taking his throne, his being coronated as king of the kingdom. We celebrate the establishing of his kingdom today. No longer is it merely at hand or coming soon. His kingdom is here. His kingdom is now. His kingdom is wherever men and women bought with his blood proclaim him as Savior and Lord. In the lesson from Acts appointed for this evening's epistle, we read St. Luke's account of the ascension. The disciples had come together with Jesus. Here he was, risen, perfected, amazing, regal. I mean, isn't that king enough? Maybe that's what they were thinking. What more can happen? How much better can it get? And they still, though, weren't quite getting it. They ask him, almost going back to, you know, Palm Sunday. Like, Lord, now that you've conquered death, now that you've risen from the dead, now are you going to restore Israel? Now are you finally going to give the Romans what for? You know, they still didn't get this, the whole thing about the kingdom is within you. And Jesus gives them a gentle reminder. He says, friends, That's not your worry. God has his own time for dealing with the powers of this world. And that timing's not your worry. But here is what's important for you. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to leave you, but when I leave you, I'm going to send my Spirit, and he's going to empower you with my power. So, in a sense, I'll be gone, but I won't be gone. I'll be with you more than I have been in my time here. I'm not going to walk alongside you. I'm going to be in you. And my Spirit, my Holy Spirit, is going to equip you to be my witnesses to Jerusalem, to all Judea. And guys, believe it or not, you're even going to go to Samaria. I know you don't like those guys, but you're going there anyways. And you're going to like it when it happens. And beyond that, you're going to the whole world. I mean, really, it was the same message he'd been telling them all along. He says, I can't stay with you. I have to go back to my Father. But I'm not going to leave you alone. I may be going, but my Spirit will remain with you and will take up residence in you and will empower you to do all the things I've told you to do. And with that, St. Luke says Jesus was lifted up. He just started rising off the ground into the sky on his way back to heaven. And up he went until he was out of sight in the clouds. And the disciples stood there, you know, watching. We don't have rafters, otherwise we could do what some churches do for ascension, and they just have like legs and feet hanging out of the rafters. I have to think, the text doesn't say, but I have to think they were probably had mixed feelings, you know, just like, wow, but at the same time, I imagine they were probably sorrowful. On the one hand, if they'd ever seen anything more amazing than this, I'm not sure what it could be other than the possibility of just Jesus being risen from the dead. And yet I think this was even more amazing. If there was any doubt before, here was the evidence that he truly was God incarnate. I mean, God had raised Lazarus, but Lazarus was still a man. So, you know, well, he raised Jesus. Could Jesus still be a man? You know, not when he goes like that. Not when he goes shooting off to heaven. Exciting time. But I think they were sorrowful, too. I mean, think how despondent they were at his death and how happy they were to have him back. Now he's gone again. So they stood there, staring up into the sky, in amazed awe, probably a little shell-shocked too. And I gather from the text they stood there, rather dazed, just looking for quite a while. But then Luke tells us, suddenly there were two men with them. You know, the disciples stood there for a while, looking up, looking up, keep looking up. One of these angels is over here. It's like, hey guys, huh? Yeah? Guys, men from Galilee. Oh, angels. Okay, I'm looking down now. It says, guys, men from Galilee. Says, what are you doing? The angel asks him. What are you doing? Presumably, they've been staring up for a long time. They're just like, guys, what are you doing? What are you doing standing around looking stupid, looking in the sky? You know, Jesus went up. He's going to come down just like he went up. You do realize that, don't you? Jesus went up, he's coming back. Now, St. Luke doesn't report Jesus' commissioning of his disciples, but Matthew does. At the end of his gospel, Jesus gives those disciples his familiar words. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And the angels back in St. Luke's account. The guys are, huh? Wow. Okay. Watching Jesus go. I'm still watching. Is he going to come back now? Hasn't come back now. Okay. You know, they're standing there watching. You're just like, guys, he went up. He's coming back. Don't stand there staring into space. He's coming back. In the meantime, did he not give you something important to do, guys? Don't just stand there looking stupid. Get to work doing what he told you to do. I realize in between the ascension and their getting to work came Pentecost for them. Jesus had to give them the gift of the Spirit to enable his kingdom people to fulfill the kingdom mission. We'll look at that aspect of it in about a week and a half. But we, you and I, live on this side of Pentecost. Each of us has been united to Christ by his indwelling Spirit. And that means that each of us has been equipped and specially gifted to go out and do that kingdom work. The ascension is a reminder of our commissioning by Christ. Jesus calls us to go out and to get busy about his work. The question we need to ask ourselves is whether or not we're doing it. Sometimes we're just like those disciples. We stand here instead of going out and doing the work. Sometimes we get busy, but we get busy doing the things of the world. Sometimes we get bogged down, thinking we're doing church work when in fact it's just busy work. It's not actually building the kingdom. See, the angel's call to the disciples is a call to us too. Jesus has said, go out and share the good news. Go out baptizing and making disciples. And now sometimes we're standing here looking up. And the angel says, hey, you, men and women of the Comox Valley, of Living Word Church, why are you standing around doing nothing? Why are you standing around staring up into the sky? This Jesus who was taken from you will come again in the same way you saw him go up to heaven. In the meantime, don't you have some work to do? He's called us, and by his Spirit, he's equipped and gifted us. We have work to do. Remember when Jesus told that parable of the talents? He gave 10 talents to one of us. The master was going on a journey. Sound familiar? Going to be gone for a while. But in the meantime, he gave his servants, one guy 10 talents, another guy 5 talents, another guy a couple of talents. The first two guys actually went and used theirs. They doubled their money. But remember the man who took his money and buried it in the ground. He did nothing with it. Remember that the master came back. What did he do? He condemned that servant as wicked and slothful. And sadly, that's going to be the condemnation of many Christians on that day when Jesus comes back. But if we hear the angel's call, if we live out Jesus' commission, using the gifts and proclaiming the message, we can take comfort in the words of the master to the servants who made good use of the gifts he had entrusted them with. Remember what he said to them? Well done, good and faithful servant. John the Baptist preached that the kingdom of God was at hand. Jesus came and proclaimed the same message as he announced that the kingdom of God is a present reality. He came and ushered it in. In his death and resurrection, he broke the power of Satan. I mean, he kicked in the door of Satan's house. He robbed him of everything he had in there. He crushed the enemy, and he presented the kingdom back to the Father. But in all that, through his death and resurrection, Jesus also makes us kingdom people. As people, he gives us authority to oppose the forces of Satan, to usher in the kingdom of God. And to show the world the kingdom principles, those principles of righteousness, justice, love, mercy, peace. He calls us to proclaim boldly the kingdom message of the remission of sins and the gift of eternal life through the blood of Jesus Christ. And he calls us to declare that Jesus has authority over everything in heaven and on earth. See, he's left. He's left, but he's coming back. And in the meantime, he's given us work to do. So let's go get to it. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, you sent your Son to die and pay the penalty for our sins. And then you put your Spirit in us to turn our hearts toward him that we might find the salvation he offers. Father, you've made us citizens of your kingdom. And we ask you for the grace to live as the people that you have made us, the people you've called us to be. Father, let us be faithful ambassadors for your kingdom to all those around us, until that day when we will reign with him before your heavenly throne. We ask this through Jesus Christ. Amen.